Genesis chapter 8. Just going to start one verse before chapter 8. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he'd made in the ark and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited seven more days and again sent the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited seven more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Let me pray for Paul as he comes to speak to us today. Lord God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for so much that we can learn from the life of Noah and your interactions with him. Help us now, Lord, and we pray especially for Paul. You would help him to communicate these through your Holy Spirit, that we might be built up together to worship and to serve you. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. So this morning, as Sue has already introduced for us, we're going to focus on remembering, on memory. Specifically, God remembers. And you might have picked up in that reading we've just had, the very start, the very first verse of Genesis chapter 8, we have this statement, "But God remembered." God remembered. Memory is quite important to us, but it might be something that we take for granted until it lets us down. You know, that forgotten wedding anniversary. That, where did I leave my car keys? Those sort of moments that bring a lot of stress and a lot of worry and a lot of anxiety. How good is your memory? How good is your memory? We're going to do a little test this morning. Don't worry. There's not going to be marks at the end of this. What I'm going to do is put up on the screen in a moment 18 pictures. They'll all be on one slide. 18 pictures that we might associate with the story of Noah and the flood. And you have 5 seconds. 5 seconds to take in as many of those pictures as you can. Try and remember them before the screen disappears. And then see how many we can remember. A bit of a memory test. Don't worry, sounds like a hard task, but I think with our collective memory between all of us, we ought to do pretty well, don't you? Some confidence. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? We all know what to do. Going to have 5 seconds. Are you ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Maybe 5 seconds was too short. Okay, let's hear some calling out. What things did we see? Christy?
Ark, hammer.
Good. Ark, hammer. What was that?
Egg.
Mouse.
Egg. Rainbow.
Doing well. That's 5. Any others?
Spider.
Spider. Good.
Rainbow.
Rainbow. Yeah. Lion. Yes. Right. All right. We're probably up to about 9 of them now. We're about halfway there. Goat, good. Noah, sorry. A mallet, yes, yes. Fire on an altar, very good, very good. The sea, yeah, the flood waters. A mountain, very good. Did anyone see what was poking out from behind the mountain? A giraffe, very good. I snuck that one in there. Yeah, I reckon we're about nearly there. Let's have a look, see if was there anything we missed. Didn't hear anyone call out the dog. We said bird, but we've got 2 birds. What have we got? A dove and a raven. A nail. Oh, we had a nail. Sorry, I didn't pick up on everything everyone said. So our memories may not be perfect, but I think as a group of us, I don't know how many of us there are here, say 60, 70 of us, we did a pretty good job. I don't know how well people did at home. But our memories aren't perfect. If we were to do that on our own, that would be quite a hard task. A bit unfair to only give you 5 seconds, I know. But our memories aren't perfect, are they? But if you ignore everything else I'm going to say today, I want you to remember one simple point, because that's the most important thing. And I've been really struck by this today. It's that God does remember. God does remember. That is our one-point sermon for you today, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more. Why am I focusing on God remembers? Well, for those of you who are into literature, maybe poetry, you might be aware that there are ways that people sometimes structure literature, structure poetry, to create a flow or a rhythm, or draw people's attention to a certain theme or a certain point. In this chapter, Genesis, well, actually, from the story of Noah, really through to from Genesis 5, when he's first mentioned in this genealogy, through to the mention of his death in Genesis 9, there is a structure. It's called a chiastic structure. That's a word you don't need to remember, but you might be interested in finding out a bit more about it later, or maybe if you're an English literature student, you might have even talked about this. But we see some poetic shaping to this story of Noah. I don't know if this picture will make much sense to you, but I'll explain it. So right at the very beginning where we have A, line A, we also, and it's actually dropped off the bottom of this slide, there's a line A at the bottom as well, which I hadn't realized wasn't appearing, which mirrors it. So the start of the story, for instance, in Genesis 5:32, we read, Noah was 500 years old when he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The A at the bottom that you can't read is that Noah lived 350 years after the flood. We read that in Genesis 9, verse 28. Then we go back to the start of the story. The next thing we read about in Genesis 6, 1 to 8, that we hear about the sins of the sons sons of God and humanity. And then that is mirrored at the end of the story after the flood, where we read about the sins of Noah and his son in Genesis 9. Then we go back to the next stage. God gives a covenant to the people, says, I'm going to bring a flood of judgment, but you can survive it if you are right, if you live right and do what I say and build an ark. And then we see that mirrored at the end. Again, we see God establishes a new covenant with Noah, which we will unpack a bit more next week when Brian talks about that for us in next week's service. Then we have the 7 days of wait to enter the ark. The ark's built. God says, in 7 days, the waters are going to come. You need to get all the animals in there. We see that then mirrored towards the end of the flood in Genesis 8, which we've looked at today. We see periods of 7 days where God is releasing the birds, and that Noah leaves the ark on his 601st year. He's 601 when he comes out. And as we get closer to the center, you can see we're getting to one core verse, can't you? 40 days the waters come upon the earth, we read. Then we read 40 days after the mountains start to appear, Noah starts releasing the birds. 150 days, the mountains are completely underwater. And then we read a bit later, the start of our passage today, 150 days, the waters start to recede. You can see symmetry, can't you? I don't know, you may be familiar with this. There are other places in the Bible. It really excites me when you see stuff like this because you realize, wow, there's all this stuff that I may not notice, that is richly there, that was intended by the God-inspired author to help draw our attention, to help enrich our understanding of what God wants to share with us. And what's right in the middle? What's the one part that doesn't have a reflection elsewhere in this passage? It's our first verse, but God remembered. Up until this point, it's the onset of sin and judgment and the problem of sin and God's rescue plan. And then from that moment onward, it's about the judgment work is done. Things are going to be restored. There's new hope and there's new life. And it hinges on, but God remembered. God remembered. So that's why we're going to focus on the memory of God today. But what is it that God remembers? What is it that God remembers? Well, firstly, isn't it a rather odd statement to have in the Bible, but God remembered? Surely, it's obvious that God remembers. If he's truly God, he's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Surely he's incapable of forgetting. He can't just misplace his keys or misplace humanity and forget about us. So who is this statement in the Bible for? Is it included by the God-inspired author to simply state the obvious? God remembers. Well, of course he remembers. It's for the benefit of a humanity who at times may doubt that God remembers them. That's who it's for. I recall being punished when I was young. I can't remember what age I was. I can't remember what I did wrong. But I do remember being sent to my bedroom. And I think it was probably a school holiday or a Saturday afternoon. There were lots of things that I wanted to be doing, none of which involved me being stuck in my bedroom. So I'm in my bedroom, and I know I'm in trouble. And the time ticks by. I don't know how long it was I was in there. To me, it felt like an eternity. And I got to the point of thinking, I wonder if my parents have remembered that they've punished me and I'm still in this room. I have to admit that I've been guilty of sending Arthur or Thomas, my children, to their room before, and we've carried on with our day downstairs, and sort of an hour later we're like, Arthur's still in his bedroom, bless him, and we have to go up and sort of try and pretend like we hadn't forgotten about him. I remember being so worried that I thought, I need to remind my parents that I'm in here. So I went and got my bow and arrow, my toy bow and arrow, not a real bow and arrow, don't worry. This isn't going to take a nasty turn, this story, which had suckers on the end. And I started firing them with all my power at the door of my bedroom. And it would go boom, boom, boom. After about 5 minutes, my mum stuck her head round the door and said, "Don't worry, we haven't forgotten you." And she walked away again. So there you go. Sometimes we feel like we're completely forgotten. We can end up in all kinds of situations and we might say, "Has God remembered me in my plight, in this situation that I'm in?" I wonder how Noah and his family felt in the ark. We have this wonderful phrase here, "But God remembered Noah," and not just Noah, all the wild animals, all the livestock that was in the ark with him. And then he sends this wind to recede the waters. But we have the benefit of reading it and seeing what the narrator says is happening. Noah in the ark didn't have necessarily a great voice that we're told of that said, "I've remembered you, and now I'm going to slowly, over the next few months, make the waters recede." I imagine for him and his family, they may not have noticed a lot of difference when God started doing those changes. I mean, let's remind ourselves of what's happened. They've been in this ark for a long time already. 40 days, the rains and floods built up. And then 150 days, they're just sort of bobbing around. If they could see out through windows or cracks, we don't really know what their visibility was outside, it would have been dark, even in the daytime, probably because of thick rain clouds. They would have seen mountains to start with, but gradually they're disappearing and disappearing. No sign that the flood's nearly done. They would have felt the ark rocking and rolling as the storms and perhaps this wind that blows up would have made that worse. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the Mount of Ararat. Now, I used to do windsurfing, and I used to do it in a harbor, and the tide would go up and down. And sometimes, when the water was low, you'd hit a sandbank, but you wouldn't know it was under the water. I won't tell you where I was surfing, but the waters were pretty murky. So sometimes you'd think you're in the middle of the harbour and you think it's probably like this and you'd step out and it's like this. So you'd be going along and suddenly you'd hear a scraping under the board and you think, "Ah, I'm grounding on something, I've caught something, I hope there's nothing down there that's going to break the fins off from under the board." You'd feel a slightly different motion. There was no sign necessarily that dry land was just under you. I wonder what it was like for them. It says they came to rest on Mount Ararat, but that doesn't mean they could see anything different. Maybe they heard a scraping. Maybe they felt something different. I imagine that could be quite scary. We're not told that Noah was a seafaring man. We don't know what his experience was of being on the water before this ark he was told to build. Maybe the motion is different. Maybe they're hearing this scraping and scratching. Is this a sign that God's remembered? Or perhaps it's a fearsome sign that something bad is going to happen. Perhaps he's forgotten us. Genesis 8, 5 to 6. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains become visible. That might have been a really great image of hope for Noah and his family, if they could see those mountains coming through. Yes, the flood's receding. Had they not already been resting on Mount Ararat, I would suggest to you that would be a reason to be afraid. Because if you're still floating around and there's mountaintops around you, there's a good chance that you're going to crash into something and you're going to sink. But signs of hope beginning to appear. We know that Noah and his family is desperately looking for signs of hope because he starts sending birds out every few days, hoping to get evidence that God has remembered them. And then finally, we read that in Genesis 8, 13, Noah removed the covering of the ark and saw the surface of the ground was dry. He's been in there nearly a year now with his family, with all these animals, the smells, the noise, the sound, the motion of being on water. I don't know how you'd be feeling at that point. I'd be pretty desperate to get on dry land. But interestingly, he doesn't rush out with his family. Then God said to Noah, we read in verse 15, come out of the ark. You and your wife and your sons and their wives, bring out every kind of living creature. Isn't that interesting? He still waits. The evidence of his eyes is, it's dry now. But he waits until God gives the word. Shows that he knows that God has remembered him. And he's still trusting in God. Not his eyes, but what God says and God's perfect timing. We've been reminded over the past couple of weeks of the similarities between this judgment and a final judgment still to come. We read in the Bible that when Jesus comes again, there's going to be a final judgment. We likened the being in the ark to being in relationship with God. And if we're in that relationship with God, we're part of his church, then we will be a righteous remnant who will survive that second judgment. But we are warned times are going to get pretty bad in the Bible before then. Matthew 24, 6 to 8 and verse 12. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. We are told to expect troubles. And when I read that passage, and I'm sure you do as well, you can say, I can see that is happening in the world today. It gives us reason to lose hope at times, doesn't it? I don't know what's going on in your life at the moment. What personal experiences you've had that are earth-shattering to you. What worries and anxieties you have. How long these trials and struggles that you have faced or are facing or will face are going on for. You might feel like Noah and his family in that ark, tossed, rocking, looking out, seeing darkness, uncertainty. And you might question, has God remembered me? Is he there? Is he real? Does he know what I'm going through? God remembers his people and his creation. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I, that is God, will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Take courage and trust in God. He hasn't forgotten you. He will not forget you. Whatever you are facing now or will face in the future, whatever decisions that you have at the moment, whatever is keeping you awake at night, or whether it is your despair as you turn the news on, and you just see the state the world is in. God remembers. God remembers his purposes. Very quickly, we have this wonderful image of a dove bringing an olive branch in Genesis. Genesis 8:11. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. The dove with the olive leaf has come to represent peace, come to represent hope, come to represent deliverance and a new start. God remembered his purpose for the flood as well as his people. He won't forget. There's a reason why we go through the experiences we go through. God hasn't forgotten us, and in that, he remembers his purpose. What is this new life? Well, in Romans 11, the Apostle Paul describes the Christian life as one of being an olive branch, connected to that trunk, which is Jesus. His purpose for the flood, his purpose for the judgment to come, his purpose for you now is to stay connected, to be an olive branch, bearing leaves, connected to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I can't imagine what it must have been like for Noah and his family when that dove returned and it had a living shoot in its beak. Even in all of this horrible stuff that's happening around us, there is hope. God is in control. His purposes, his promises, they're going to be seen. They're going to be fulfilled. They're going to be delivered. So we're going to skip now to where I want us to finish this morning. And I'm not going to focus too much on the promise, the covenant at the end, because I know Brian's going to pick up on that next week. But let's read the words of this promise that God gives at the end. He says, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood." God realized that even though he had wiped out all of these unrighteous people, washed the world clean, that Noah and his family and every generation afterwards were still going to be subject to temptation and sin. I perhaps incorrectly said last week that by doing the flood, God was resetting creation to Eden 2.0, rebooting. Actually, he wasn't. Because in the beginning, everything was good and there was no sin, and Adam and Eve hadn't chosen to sin. He's actually rebooted it here to Adam and Eve just after the fall. Because Noah still has free will, his family still have free will, and they have a choice of how they're going to use that. And of course, as we'll hear more next week, they choose to sin, to rebel against God, as indeed every generation has since then. But in that, God makes a promise. He doesn't say, "Never again will I curse the ground and bring a flood in this way," because he thinks he's made a mistake, that he regrets doing it. He says it because he realizes this is inadequate. It's not dealt with the problem of sin, that a more radical solution is needed. And we know what that radical solution was and is, where we have our hope. We know that God has remembered us, that we have a hope in a future. Because instead of pouring the fullness of judgment and consequences out on the whole world again, he poured that out on Christ, on the cross, in our place. So that those of us who live right by God, in right relationship, we can be with God forever in heaven. We can weather that second judgment, Eden 2.0, to come. So what are you going through at the moment? What's worrying you? What's troubling you? Do you feel God's close to you, far away? Has he remembered you? I want us to choose to believe this morning. Even in the times of greatest trouble and uncertainty, God remembers you. God remembers his creation. God remembers his purposes. And God remembers his promises. Amen.